turn between now and 9:30 to the topic of hate messages on the internet. This discussion especially sparked by messages which have appeared on blogs and sent to Unison, the organisation for ethnic harmony in Hong Kong, that are especially directed against South Asians in Hong Kong. The Equal Opportunities Commission has reacted. We wanted to talk, though, generally about hate blogs and control about hate talk on the internet. We have with us Fermi Wong, Executive Director of Unison, Lam Wun Kong, who's the chairman of the EOC, Equal Opportunities Commission, and in our central studio, Charles Mock, chairman of the Internet Society of Hong Kong, and Pinda Wong, who's chairman of Verify. Fermi Wong, let's start with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just tell us, first of all, what these comments are, where they've appeared.
In fact, I receive such email from time to time, but because, you know, before the law was effective, you know, I got nothing to do. And also because even though the law now is effective, it could not extend to the protection of me. I'm an associate. I'm not myself, not an African artist. But this time it's different because, first of all, the content is serious verification, incites hatred to against Southern Asian. And also because the EOC found it in a public forum, means it's a bot. So I think we cannot accept this type of attitude, even though it may be difficult to locate or identify the IP or the sender. But still, we have to send a strong message and also have an attitude that we don't welcome such, you know, biased email. But sometimes I do receive calls to my mobile about your foreign language. They ask, you know, my mom has to prepare funeral for me, or if I continue to serve Southern Asians, they will incite hatred among their friends. That, you know, we ask their friends, you know, to treat Nepalese, Pakistani, India badly, and also they really appreciate PC Hoi, that, you know, should that the Nepalese, they would like PC Hui to continue his good job. So I think, I don't think this is, you know, acceptable in Hong Kong.
So it's the fact that these comments are in public on a website that brings it into the sort of
at the
law?
Beginning, I received only food to my email suggesting to me and my EXCO members, our executive committee, who also consists of India, Switzerland, Canada, and Pakistani. Okay, and but this time it's only they found in the public, the board, you know, publicly people can, you know, can find it.
WK Lam, good morning to you.
Hi, morning.
Thanks for joining us today. What do you think should be the role of the EOC in this? I mean, with private messages, with public messages, how can you act? What can you do?
Well, the Race Discrimination Ordinance came into force last year, and under it, there's a clear reference to vilification, inciting of hatred among racial groups being an offence. And this time, when the information has been referred to us, we took it very seriously because, in the first instance, the message is real bad, and secondly, we do think that this sort of thing should really be stopped as soon as we can. I mean, we really hate the sort of freedom of speech on the internet being abused to such an extent, and we do have the responsibility to enforce the law.
So what will you do? Will you go to the internet service provider and find out who posted these messages, or what?
Yeah, we have approached the service provider, and at the same time, we are, of course, depending on the evidence we gather, we are also in touch with the police. So we are taking action within our ambit. And but the more important thing is that we do want the community to know that we will not tolerate such abuses.
And does this apply to public and private messages?
Yes.
So private emails as well that contain racist comments, they might be the subject of investigation, prosecution?
Well, I mean, if these sort of messages get out to the public, say through the, you know, there are various platforms now, and messages do get, you know, sort of transferred from private mails into public domains. And if that happens, then if we pick them up, then we will certainly act as well.
I don't quite understand what you mean. You mean if Fermi, for example, made these comments public, you could act, but if they're individual emails sent to her, can you act on those?
Well, I mean, if the messages are targeted at a person who does not belong, who does not come under the sort of definition of a racial group, then we cannot act under the Race Discrimination Ordinance. So if in Fermi's case, for example, Actually, unfortunately, she is not covered under the RDO. But nevertheless, we still want to send a message that nobody should do anything like this to, I mean, anyone, irrespective of the racial background.
Mm. Charles Mock, good morning to you.
Morning.
What do you think should be the reaction to these kind of comments?
Well, I certainly do not want to see this sort of any hate mail or blogs and such kind of content on the internet. I think it's the sort of thing that highlights the importance of holding a balance between free speech and this sort of unwanted and unwarranted behavior. But it's always a very difficult and delicate balance that we have to keep. And in Hong Kong, I think in the past, in general, the ISPs, the online service providers, the blog owners or the blog service providers and so on, the forum owners, they have been quite cooperative with various law enforcement agencies, including the EOC. And of course, a lot of times these content, even if they originated in Hong Kong or have a Hong Kong context, they may or may not be hosted within Hong Kong. So there's another legal issue to be dealt with, and also in terms of investigation, how easy it is to get the IP address and nail down who put up these content. But I think in general, I'm very supportive of the EOC going after this sort of behavior on the internet. But at the same time, I hope that they will be having more discussion working more closely with the ISPs and OSPs in order to define where their liability ends or starts, because that's actually a concern of the industry as well. You know, they certainly don't want to see this sort of behavior, but on the other hand, if they just go ahead and remove messages from time to time, anything that they don't see as appropriate, that's probably not a good thing for maintaining free speech on the internet as well. So who's making that decision, and whether we do it before or after?
Is there a danger here that the relationship between the ISPs and the various authorities could be a little too cozy?
Too cozy? What do you mean? Do you mean to being too cooperative with the authorities?
Yes, I mean, I think we're all sitting here, I think we're all one mind about hate messages on ethnic grounds. Even those of us who are Chinese but not ethnically Han people, we feel about these things. But is it a slippery slope? People who are organizing or let's demonstrate against the act now? Campaign?
Well, exactly. I think we shouldn't. We shouldn't just let it be sort of, you know, a sort of relationship, whether it becomes too cozy or too cold. But there needs to be some legal or guidelines set up that defines, for example, certain safe harbor. We've been doing it, and we're probably going to do it soon with the copyright law, for example, as a reference. You know, when and what. You need to do, and what is the extent that ISPs and OSPs should do in case of these matters being reported to them? Should it be act on complaint basis, or rather the ISPs has to do it according to their own judgment, which I don't think is the right thing to do. So these are the kind of things that needs to be set out in a guideline, and so all the ISP OSPs in Hong Kong can follow.
And who should set those guidelines out in Hong Kong?
I guess together with the EOC and relevant law enforcement agencies, with the industry and users. Don't forget the users, and also, of course, the people who are affected by this sort of behavior, including the ethnic minorities, I think
that's fair enough for racial hatred and so on. What about other subjects?
For example, like other kind of hate,
political. I'm worried about. Yes.
Well, political. I think that we're talking about different arena. First of all, with the ethnic minority issue, there is a law that we can rely on in the end. So, if you were talking about political complaints and so on, that I think is a little bit different. First of all, you know, political matters are everybody's matters, until and unless we have a law to say that we cannot criticize the government or the government cannot criticize the opposition, I don't think we should put it in the same context.
Binder Wong, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you think is the proper reaction from whom to these kind of comments?
Well, I think the reaction that we're having is the right one, which is let's discuss this. And although some of the boundaries that we're talking about, which is using the law and going after the individual, revealing their identity, etc., I think is a little bit extreme. I think where we are is the right place, which is discussing it, raising awareness of that such behavior is not really welcome or acceptable. I think that's where we all agree. But where I think we really do need to, there was a mention of free speech earlier by Mr. Lam. I think what we really do need to distinguish is what was said, what harm was caused, and actually who said them. And at the risk of being very, I guess, unpopular here this morning, I do believe there is a distinction that we do need to make, and I don't really believe that we actually need to single out actually who said them or reveal their identity. So that's my position.
So, Amy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course, you know, we do respect the freedom of speech, especially also in the internet. But this kind of behavior, sometimes, you know, of course, we find out who sent them. But if this kind of a bias and hatred in the message keep circulating among the internet, it's really harm to the harmony and also the society.
Yeah.
And also because we have a law, and also now is a very clearly, you know, such kind of a hatred speech is violating the law. And also, I don't think is, you know, the society will accept it. So we have to do something, except EOC or do more public education to have a conscious rate raising. But I think it's not enough, because if you look into the content, it's very serious verification. It's saying that, you know, refer to all the Southern Asians and then incite, you know, hatred, you know, from the police to kill them. When they see one, they will kill one by one when they see them. I think this kind of hatred is very serious. We cannot just sit there, okay, well, we just have, you know, do some, you know, conscious raising, or sometimes somebody just, you know, they don't like to be educated. So, you know, it's very difficult to stop this kind of message. We have to use the law and very strong message to stop it.
I mean, I agree with you as far as education. I think there, I mean, prejudice is learnt, right? So, I mean, I think there's always a role for increasing awareness and sensitivity of these and other issues. But, you know, I think with crossing the line of sort of rule of law and rule by law, and I'm very much rule of law as opposed to rule by law.
How about WK coming in here? Are we doing enough on the public education front?
Well, there'll never be enough on this and other fronts. But education is one thing. There is this race discrimination ordinance here came into effect already, and there's very specific reference to vilification being an offense. So we do have to act, and we do think this sort of messages should be stopped, and we do think if the offender can be identified and traced, then we should follow up.
Well, what I'd like to know is by making such by potentially going after these people, what effect do you think you would have on free speech? You mentioned that earlier. Don't you feel that you might actually have a chilling effect?
In all civilized society, there is a great limit to what freedom of law should mean. Inciting people to kill others really goes beyond the limit of any free society. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. I think the characteristic is absolutely right. I mean, there are boundaries of free speech, and hate speech, as I think it's described, is one of those boundaries. But while we have the law to rely on with respect to Equal Opportunities Commission, what laws do we have to preserve our freedom of speech?
Well, I mean, there's the Bill of Rights as the overriding piece of legislation, and if anyone being pursued under the EOC legislation felt that they had been persecuted, they can have lots of room to defend themselves.
But if all our young people left school with a firmly held belief that people of different ethnicities deserved equal respect, that they had their own talents and so on and so forth, there wouldn't be an audience for this kind of hate message, would there?
I would say, you know, for the public education is one thing, and also the law is another thing, but they are not mutually exclusive. Of course, you know, education is always takes a very long process, long time. But what if, you know, somebody, they are not yet, you know, believe that people are born equal or they have to respect different talent, different culture? What can we do? especially if those you know are harmful, I would say, very hurtful and harmful behaviors or acts. What can we do? I think that society should, you know, have some, I would say, you know, mechanism, just like, you know, law or EUC. They have to stop this kind of behavior immediately. And for ADA, of course, you said we're building up a multicultural, inclusive society or to respect, you know, different people. This is a process, you know, it's a very long time. I will not say it's mutually exclusive. We have to do, you know, by three ways, you know, at the same time. One, of course, the, you know, effective and also with concrete plan of a public education package. Another is, of course, we need effective law to stop, you know, some harmful behavior. Another is, of course, we have a good government policy to ensure that, you know, different people with ethnic background, they can enjoy equal opportunities. But these three things in Hong Kong is sort of, you know, very weak and also not good enough.
What will happen if we identify this person and bring him, the police will prosecute him?
The EOC, or maybe?
Well, it really depends on the evidence that's gathered in the process. I mean, I don't want to preempt any particular action by any law enforcement agency. I mean, certainly I would think that there's also room for the police to move in as well. I mean, under perhaps the legislation too. But I wouldn't want to speculate or preempt. At the moment, our commission is acting within the ambit of the RDO, and we're trying to send a signal to the community that we will not tolerate such uncivilized behavior.
Have you been in touch with the police?
Yes.
Charles Mott, the fact is that the internet is awash in racism, like it's awash with all kinds of unpleasantness. I mean,
unpleasant things too.
Unpleasant things too, exactly. If you just look at comments on YouTube, for example, it's quite breathtaking, the stupidity and the racism which is displayed there. But people, I mean, have kind of learnt to take that in their stride, haven't they? That there are these good things and there are these bad things. Shouldn't we really apply the same kind of lessons to internet speech in Hong Kong, that there will always be these extremists, and the best thing to, in the end,
well,
to do is to ignore them?
I think so, but on the other hand, there are also obviously things that are already illegal according to law and so on, that I think we have to act according to the law, but I think the overall philosophy, the overriding philosophy, I still think should be that we take the level of discussion or the atmosphere of discussion. Let like you said, let the users pick out and learn by themselves and find out that what are the things that are acceptable and what not. But on the other hand, I think it's also very important that I want to just echo some of the things that Pinder said about privacy. I think that's very, very important at the same time. And Mike also talked about, you know, the concern of what if the relationship between law enforcement and the companies, the ISPs, becomes too cozy. Now, I have to say that at the moment, I know that the ISPs and OSPs in Hong Kong are very tight and vigilant about giving out IP address and personal information. Fortunately, we also have that law to protect us at the same time. So a lot of times what we see is that the ISPs and OSPs are squeezed between two sides. You know, on the one hand, certain law enforcement agency, and certainly not talking about EOC, would go and tell them, you have to give me these information. But on the other hand, without sufficient legal backing, that happens all the time. I'm not talking about EOC in this case. So that's the danger that we see. And if ISPs and OSP comply to those orders, so to speak, they might be in violation of the personal data law. So there are a lot of these issues that ISPs and OSPs, while they're trying to help protect the free speech as well as the privacy of the individual users and so on, that they face all the time. And this is the kind of thing that I think law enforcement agencies need to take a look at in general, and make sure that they don't force the ISPs into an environment where there's too cozy, or they're forced into feeling that, or a chilling effect, so that they feel that they have to give out certain information before they're due.
Yes, I think this is a legitimate area for concern. This is an easy one, in a sense.
Yeah.
We have an Equal Opportunities Commission, we have a race discrimination ordinance, we have a clear message from the community about what is acceptable and not acceptable. We're soon, at some point, we're going to have to go back to Article 23 and,
yeah.
and talking about right. What constitutes subversion and other difficult areas.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ISPs get into the frame of mind that anyone with an official background who rings
exactly.
them up and asks...
exactly, and not just, we don't even have to go to that sort of sensitive areas. Even today, every week or month, we got ISPs would probably get a few, if not too many, requests from especially the police going after them and say that you have to give me these IP address or these messages and so on. And they don't even give they don't even provide the proper warrant in some cases, and they don't even tell you what this is all about. And then the ISP and OSPs are left to consider whether they should take it to their lawyers and say, should we give it to them? And check with the PCO and say, okay, the Personal Data Commissioner, and say whether or not we should give it to them. You know, that happens all the time with certain law enforcement agencies, and that's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to agree with Hugh and what he said earlier, insofar as, well, you know, there's a lot of very stupid statements out there. In some sense, I'm a little bit surprised why we are, you know, spending so much time on these effectively stupid statements. I don't really think, and we recognize this, they're not appropriate, we recognize they're silly, and I think that's fine. You know, I'm personally a great believer in human judgment, and I think that where the education leads is for all of us to have judgment, to seize things that we see on the net and recognize that they're either out of line or just inappropriate.
So we want, what about that? These are just stupid statements. Do you have to be taken to the police for stupidity?
No, I don't agree with because, you know, I really have a thinking that, you know, if a person, he or she, has a right or a freedom, for example, freedom of speech, you know, to discriminate other people, this is, I don't agree. But now if we, the society, already accept that and agree that, you know, discrimination is not morally and legally wrong, and then why we should tolerate? Because, you know, such, you know, sometimes, of course, it depends on the content that, you know, the degree of seriously, or, you know, how much, you know, they can incite the hatred among or against to different minorities. But this time, because, you know, this guy, I'm not sure if the same guy, but the email says that it's the same guy, okay, the same email. Already many times, it's all the content is really, you know, serious verification. So, you know, you're still saying that, you know, is it only the stupid statement? Why, you know, they can have such easy forgiveness or tolerance, but how about the Nepalese community, the Pakistani, and the one who already shot dead by the police? And then we're talking about that, okay, well, you know, people, you know, they say such things, only the stupid statement. So sorry, I cannot agree.
Mm. I mean, Pinder Wong, the point is this is rule by law, because, rule of law, because there are laws against this. It would be rule by law to ignore them.
No, I take the opposite view. This is a rule by law, which is we're now going after because we have the law. And I don't disagree with the fact that hate speech is at the boundary of freedom of speech. And I don't disagree with that. But I'm just calling on, in some sense, what I would hope to be common sense. In this one, I don't know the specifics of these personal threats that have been made against Fermi, but again, I think the details need to... The devil is always in the details. And the risk that we have here is talking very generally about a very, very, very general subject where the specifics actually do matter.
Hugh, can I say this?
Mm.
I mean, everyone, most people, I would say, the great majority of people in Hong Kong agree that this is a rule of law society and we will not accept rule by law. But there comes a drawing line where, you know, hate message such as this one, the one that we have identified, I mean, it really goes beyond all the civilized society's acceptable freedom line. And I don't think in this particular case there's any doubt that we should act. But of course, every one of us agree that we have to, and we treasure the rule of law spirit of this society, and that is actually the greatest strength of Hong Kong.
Okay, well, W.K. Lam, thanks for joining us, Chairman of the EOC. Thanks to Fermi Wong, Executive Director of Unison, and in our central studio, Pinder Wong, Chairman of Verify, and the Chairman of the Internet Society of Hong Kong, Charles Mock. Thank you all very much indeed, Mike. Thank you very much. See you next Monday.